Legs hanging on the wall. She was holding an apple and scowling. Then he'd switch to the blonde with the ponytails sitting by the blackboard at the opposite side of the room. She was biting a pencil. On the board was neatly chalked the beginning of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I..." Then, for years, his choice had lingered on the pale, narrow visage with the bangs in the last row. Her hands were tightly clasped, and she looked terrified. Then the girl next to her had attracted his fancy. She wore glasses and was grinning. But he no longer had any preferences. He knew them all by heart now and loved every one of them. The classroom was the most familiar decor of his life. Three walls, crucifix, tables, blackboard, the psalm, the apple. And the 15 lovely faces. Like infantile mugshots, the myriad of gazing eyes, and in the far corner a door through which he knew he would one day enter and call her name. And out of the multitude would rise his lost child. He was absolutely certain of this. He stared through the window. The old man in the overalls was back in the parking lot looting the glove compartment of a Thunderbird. The telephone rang. It was Miss Dome, Baker's secretary, summoning him upstairs. It was noon. Watchmen, Inc. filled two basement levels and the second, third, and fourth floors of the Carlisle Tower. Baker's office was in the northeastern corner of the fourth floor. An enormous salon with two Van Goghs, three Picassos, and a Braque covering one entire wall. Baker was only 29 years old. He had inherited the agency from his father a year ago. The old-timers downstairs ran the business, but he always handled what he called the $1,000-a-day clients himself. Two of them, an elderly man and woman, both in tweeds, were sitting in Heppel-white chairs facing the refectory desk. Baker introduced them to the eye, Mr. and Mrs. Hugo. The eye knew the name, Hugo Shoe Stores. Old-fashioned booteries, founded in 1867, on downtown streets in all the big cities. He remained standing and tried to anticipate the squeal. A family problem, surely. A son or a daughter straying off the beaten track. He was right. Baker struck a pose, looking grave and professional. "Mr. and Mr. Hugo have a son," he announced, "Paul. He graduated from college recently and is unemployed for the moment." Mr. Hugo laughed nervously. "He's been unemployed for the last 10 months.
"He's made no effort at all to find a job," Mrs. Hugo said. "He's just loafing."
"He has a girlfriend," Baker continued. "His parents want to find out something about her. They want to know just how deeply the boy is involved. You follow me?"
The eye nodded.
"A college boy and a hustler. Dad and Ma desperate, a big retainer." He turned to Mr. Hugo. "What's the girl's name, sir?" Mr. Hugo twitched.
"We don't know. We've never met the young lady."
"She's been calling him up at the house," Mrs. Hugo whined. "That's how we found out about her."
Baker emerged from his chair, ending the session. He had a squash date at the Harvard Club at 1. "Establishing her identity won't be any problem," he said, and he walked around the desk and stood staring at the front of the eye's jacket. "They would like a preliminary report within 24 hours. Is that possible?"
"Yes." He fingered his buttonhole. The goddamn button was gone.
"Can we hear from you this time tomorrow?"
"Yes.
That's all, then. Thank you."
The eye bowed to Mr. and Mrs. Hugo and left the office. He wondered where the hell the button was.
He found it out in the corridor, on the floor by the elevators. On his last assignment, he'd followed an embezzler named Mo Grander to Cheyenne, Wyoming. The guys downstairs called him Grander the Absconder. He'd cornered the eye in an alley one night and tried to brain him with a hammer. The eye had shot him in the stomach. Watchmen, Inc. did not approve of killings.